Good morning, everyone. It's such a blessing to see everyone here. Would you all lift your voices as we worship the Lord this morning?
Let me out of the desert. Draw me into his streams, river of living water. Turn my bitter into sweet. All my burdens are lifted. Took the shackles off my feet. There's no sound louder than the captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord's name sound. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness. Lay on the floor. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
There's joy.
There's joy in the morning. Springing up in my soul. There's life for the living. Cause he calls me his own. There's a hallelujah. After sweet victory. There's no sound louder than the captive set free. Oh, there's no sound louder than the captive set free. So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out his faithfulness. Let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer. The freedom I'm living in. You are my deliverer. You are my promised land. You are my deliverer.
Praise the name of the Lord this morning.
Blood. He loved me and I knew. heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story, and some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory.
Let's give God all the glory this morning.
Oh, I'm leaning, safe and secure from all the loss. Leaning on the
a Savior that we can lean on. Amen. Amen.
I cast my mind to Calvary. Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. My Savior on that cursed tree. His body bowed and drenched in tears. They laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah is there, and all of them. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. His name forevermore, for endless days we will sing your praise, oh Lord our God.
All right, here's the best part.
On the third, at break of dawn, the Son of thank you.
At first glance, you may hear this title and see it as discouragement, but it's not discouragement. It's possibly the greatest encouragement that you could possibly hear. The title of our message today is Your Best Still Cannot Save You. Chris read it earlier. I'd encourage you to open up your copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Philippians chapter 3. We'll be in 4 through 8 today. In this world, which is totally contrary, our accomplishments open doors for us. In 2014, I decided to go back to graduate school. And when I did, part of the application process was I had to go and bring my resume and present myself to a panel of teachers to see if I could get accepted to the program. As you can imagine, I was very nervous about that, and I had spent time before that focused on one thing. I was scouring my career to remember all of my accomplishments, everything that Philip had done up until that point, so that I could tell them how worthy I was to be accepted to this program because of all that I had done. Now, this is our world around us. This is how life works in this world. It's the opposite of how it works with Jesus. Anytime we start trying to bring our accomplishments, our self-driven accomplishments to Him, we're going about it the wrong way, because it's about what He accomplished. In salvation, your greatest danger is not rebellion alone. And so many times, and especially here in the South, I hear this all the time. Preacher, if you only knew what I had done, if you had only been with me in my 20s, if you had only been with me, it's almost like they're trying to disqualify themselves because of how horribly that they've lived. But that's not the only people who are in danger. Also, and equally in danger, are those that like to tell us about how good that they lived, how moral that they are, and all the good things that they did. One group says, I have done this for God. The other group says, I have done this against God. Both are inappropriate. This will be the question that will guide our time today, and I want you to hear it, and I want you to really think about it. I want you to answer it for yourself. What are you trusting to make you right before God? Specifically, what are you trusting? Even our best spiritual credentials are worthless as confidence before God. Why? Only Jesus Christ can save you. I know this sounds heavy. Y'all are looking at me mad already. Don't get mad. I'm going to tell you, this is great news. This is good news if you can hear it. Today, two groups of people are on my heart as I've studied this week. If you're part of this group, just know you're heavy on my mind and on my heart. The first group is trusting in their works, their personal human works for their salvation. They're trusting in it. It's got their confidence. You've been counting on what you've done, where you were raised, what you know, how you serve, or how moral, how good you've tried to be. That's group one. Group two, you're trusting in a lack of works. You're trusting that you have not done enough, or you're trusting that you've done so many things contrary that somehow you've been disqualified. You're not religious enough. Good. Christianity is not a religion. Both groups are making the same mistake. One group is trusting in what they've done. The other group is waiting until they have done enough. But today I want you to hear, salvation is not improving your worth to God. Salvation is trusting in the worth of Jesus Christ. Okay? Let's learn that everything depends on the work of Christ and not our own. Our first truth that we need to hear is your best may look impressive, but it cannot save you. Let's read 4 through 6 together. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is found in the law, blameless. What a resume! What a list of attributes! Man, what has Paul done? This is a five-star athlete. This is not a disqualified. This is not a reject. This is the guy we want. What a man of God. Paul does not begin with his failures. He begins with his accomplishments. We're tempted to treat spiritual accomplishments as proof that we're right from God, right with God. Spiritual credentials may impress people, but they do not justify a sinner. Paul says, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, I far more. If it could be done by human works, I did it. What does flesh mean? We need to know that. Flesh describes our state, our humanly state, from birth until God is pleased to bring us to the new birth. It's our personal, fleshly, sinful, human wants and desires apart from the Holy Spirit. Okay? Paul was not a man who failed at religion. We're not getting a guy who got rejected that's trying to teach us. This guy was at the top in religion. He had the right covenant mark on his flesh. He came from the right people. He belonged to the right tribe. He had the right heritage. He followed the strictest religious group. He had intense zeal. He had outward appearance. From a human standpoint, Paul's spiritual resume was almost untouchable. But that's not the point. Paul is saying if salvation could be gained through spiritual credentials, I would have had it. But it could not. I don't want you to take my word for it. Let's go to Romans 3:20. It says, because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. There's not enough work you can do. For the law comes through the knowledge of sin. So human works are powerless to save. There's no tally out there being brought together, to my knowledge, or that I've read in the Bible, of all the things that you've done right. Also, on the other side of that, I don't think there's a tally running for all the things that you did wrong. Let's pretend we're taking a church trip to the Caribbean. This was inspired because some of you have gone on vacation, and I'm a little bit jealous. Not like it's from a sinful way, but I'm a little bit, you know, I've looked upon it, and I thought that would be nice. Let's say we're all going to go to the Caribbean, and we're going to rest and relax. We're going to refresh and recharge and get ready to charge the gates of hell with a water pistol when we get back. And you guys all go, and you get you a passport because you're going to need that. We're going out of the country. But I determined, I said, you know what I'm going to do? I don't have time to go down to wherever you go to get a passport. And I'm going to instead pour all my heart, soul, time, and energy, and I'm going to make one that's going to look just like the real one. So we're going to all get together, and we're going to pack our bags, and we're going to go to the airport. And y'all, one by one, because you've gotten your valid passport, are going to go through the gate. Well, sadly, Philip will not be making this trip because when I present this handmade, homemade passport that looks just like yours, they're going to go, that's not valid. We're not letting you go because this is not the real thing. Likewise, we cannot create our own ticket into heaven. That ticket is reserved to be made by Jesus Christ alone. So what are you holding up as proof that you're right with God? Is it the righteousness of Jesus Christ through faith? Or is it a bunch of things that you've done in your own strength and your own power? Anything you trust in besides Jesus Christ becomes a threat to your soul. I hope y'all hear that this morning if anybody needs it. Your best may look impressive. Paul sure looked impressive. But your best still cannot save you. Our second truth, your best must be counted as loss. Look at verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul did not merely add Jesus to his old life. This is important. He didn't just add Jesus. He changed the way he valued everything. We're tempted to add Jesus to our self-confidence instead of replacing our self-confidence with Jesus and throwing that self-confidence in the garbage can, counting it as loss. Saving faith does not add Christ to self-confidence. Saving faith abandons, walks away from your self-confidence for Jesus Christ. He has to become your sole self-confidence. Paul says, whatever things were gained to me. That means these things he had once put in the gain column. Because I think most of us have a gain column and a loss column. I know my accountants in the room are very familiar with that. And we like to take these things that we do, good things, and we like to put them in the gain. These are good. These are good. I did this for the Lord and this was good. I did this and that was morally good. And we put all these things in there and then we have this other bucket. When Paul looked at whatever he had put in the gain column, pretend it's a bucket up here. When he looked in that, and there were some good things in there that he had done. And he realized Christ, he took that and he just threw it away. This is loss. Nothing in here is good. Only the work of Jesus Christ is good. We have a hard time doing that. It's hard. I know. If I went around and had a conversation with everybody in the room, y'all have got some things that y'all have done that are really admirable. And that's great. But if you're using them to gain confidence and you're standing before God, you are making a horrible mistake. Paul's old confidence did not help him gain Christ. It stood in the way of gaining Christ. Jesus illustrates the path for us to take with this confidence swap in the parable of the costly pearl. Many of you have read it. You'll remember it. Mark 13, 45 through 46. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and he sold all that he had and he bought the one pearl. That's counting everything that he had accumulated, even things that he liked, even things at one time were good, sold everything because he had found the one thing. And that one thing is Jesus Christ. All those good works sold for Christ's one work on the cross. When Christ becomes your confidence for your saving and your saving hope, everything else loses its place as your confidence, or it should. When I was growing up, many of you know this, I loved baseball, I played baseball, and as you play sports and different things, you get these trophies, and you have game balls, and you have home run balls if you can hit it deep. It's not for everybody. And when you went in my room as a young boy, on every dresser that I had was trophies. 6U, 8U, 10U, 12U, all-stars, game ball, home run ball. And anybody who would come in my room and was willing to let me tell them, I would talk to them, oh, look at all these accomplishments. Look at all these things that I've done. I made all-stars every year. I was a really fantastic player. And those things are not bad. One thing that I am assured of is when I get to heaven, I will not be asked about All-Star Year of 1989. I will not be asked, well, what was the count when you hit that home run ball that year? But we'll rest upon our accomplishments and make them our life and make them what we trust when Christ is the only thing that should matter. Not to say baseball is bad. Trophies are not bad. Those things are neutral. They're neither good nor bad. We make them good and bad when we put our trust and our faith in them and our identity. Have you counted your best works as loss? Or are you still hoping they will help your case before God? This is where many religious people struggle. They do not reject Jesus outright. They simply refuse to stop trusting in themselves. They want Christ, but they also want credit. They want grace, but they still want to keep their hand on their spiritual record. But Paul says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. We all need to realize that we're empty-handed before God. See, in our world, that doesn't make sense. We never want to be empty-handed. We always want to have a talent. We always want to have this thing that we can bring to show you I'm supposed to be here. And we talked about it a little bit last week, but that's what I love about the thief on the cross. He had done nothing to be there. He brought nothing with him. He was empty-handed. When he stood at judgment, he was empty-handed. And whether we want to believe that or not, we're going to stand there the same way. We ain't bringing nothing with us. Except for one thing, faith in what Christ had done. If you brought that, you're doing good. But if you don't have that and you're trying to bring a bunch of other things, you're going to be sorely disappointed. But now's the time to count them as loss so that you can live in the beauty of knowing that you have the gain, you have it in Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ alone. If your best works are your confidence, then your best must be counted as loss. Our final truth is value knowing Christ as surpassing everything. Everything. Look at verse 8. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. We're seeing a revolution, a whole evolution. If you hadn't noticed that yet, before we start talking about this, in the beginning we were bragging. We were talking about all the good things. Now, it's just a couple of verses later, that's garbage compared to Jesus Christ. That I might gain Christ. It was impossible to hold on to the former values and still have Christ. He had to let it go. Paul does not merely say Christ is valuable. He says knowing Christ is passingly valuable. It's not even comparable. It's like trying to listen to me pick on the guitar and then going and listening to a symphony done about Mozart. There's no comparison. Many people value religious association with Christ, but they do not value personally knowing Christ above everything. The fact that you're a member of Blunt Springs Baptist Church is awesome. That's great. It is nothing compared to knowing Jesus Christ personally. That's why it bothers me, and I'm not trying to get on people. Should I say it? I'm going to say it. I'm not being ugly. That gives me at least to say it, right? When I have a conversation with somebody and I'm asking them about their relationship with the Lord, and they lead with association to a church, it just doesn't sit well in my soul. We should be leading with our association with Jesus Christ. I am a Christian, not I am a Baptist. That's fine. I'm saying that's bad. We're in a Baptist church. More importantly, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and Savior. Knowing Christ is worth more than every confidence, every achievement, and every credential we could ever hold before God. In verse 7, Paul counted his former gains as loss. In verse 8, he goes even further. He says, I count all things to be lost. He didn't leave anything out. All means everything. All things to be lost. And then he goes a little further. And I'm not going to get graphic on y'all, but I think it's worth calling your attention to it. Not only does he count them lost, he counts them to be rubbish. Now, what is rubbish? It's not just garbage. It's excrement. The most vile excrement. That's the category that he put all works apart from Christ in. I think that gives us a picture, doesn't it? Why? Because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul does not merely say, and this is where we got to be careful. If you've tuned out, I need you to tune back in for just one second. It's not just knowing about Jesus Christ. It's not knowing that, yeah, Jesus lived. Yeah, Jesus had some disciples. Yeah, Jesus healed some people. Yeah, Jesus did a lot of things. That's knowing about what Jesus did. That is not what Paul's talking about. Paul is talking about having a personal, saving, trusting relationship with Jesus Christ. Being all in on Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, I have nothing. I've put it all upon Him. He's got all of my confidence. He's got all of my faith. If He didn't do enough to get it done, we're both in a mess. Knowing Jesus Christ in that way. All in. This is personal, this is relational, this is surrendering, this is saving. Christ is not merely a doctrine, Paul is affirming. It's not merely a name Paul respects. It's not merely a religious figure that Paul talks about. Christ is his Lord, King, Master. The highest of the high, sitting on the throne. Jesus tells us, you must know Him. John 17:3, Jesus said, This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life and God are at stake. Jesus' following words generate a deep fear in my soul. It gives me chill bumps. I got them right now. just thinking about it, that's how heavy this situation, what Jesus is about to describe, is for me. Why? This could be some of you today. I may be about to talk directly to somebody in here today. Likely I am, and I want you to listen to this. Matthew 7:22-23, Jesus speaking. He says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Good works. Prophesying, casting out demons, performing miracles. What's the problem? What have they missed? Their faith, their confidence, their trust did not rest upon Jesus Christ and what he had done. They did not have a saving relationship with him. They just knew about him. I like to watch athletes come through the tunnel. It's exciting. The intensity of the game, the anticipation of what's going to happen. You can see them, they're dancing. Boy, the coach is there and they're ready. Smoke's coming out. But a lot of times as they're coming out, you'll see fans hanging down over the, whatever you call that. They got their hands out. They're wanting the high five from the star player. Why? They know them. They've been watching them. They're their favorite player on the team. But most times, the athletes, they're not real interested in those people. Why? They don't know them. There's no relationship. If that was their mom, you can bet they're going to go over there and give them a high five. They got a relationship. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people out there today that are like that with Jesus. They know about him. But Jesus doesn't know them because they've never trusted in him. They're still resting in something else. Why did Paul look upon the chess field with heredity and personal religious achievements as rubbish? They did not bring him to solely trust Jesus Christ. Knowing and trusting Christ is surpassingly valuable because only Christ can save. Only Christ has and gives righteousness. And only Christ is worthy of our confidence for salvation. Worship team, you can come up. I've got one more thing, but I want y'all to come on up before I do it. I don't have a bucket to show you, but I think y'all are sharp. I think you've got a good enough imagination for where this will still land. I want you to pretend that I went and robbed Captain Hook of one of those chests that they had all those gold they put in, big wooden one. I want you to pretend that I got that right here on the stage, right here beside me. It's opened up. So you've got a choice. Today, you've got confidence. You've got trust. You've got faith. Now this chest here is filled with all the good things that you've done. All your accomplishments. All your works that you've done. So there's choice one. And there's choice two. And And I want to know, which one are you putting your confidence in? Paul realized this wasn't the right choice. All the good things, rubbish, compared to the surpassing value of knowing the man who lived the perfect life and crawled upon that thing and stayed there and died so that he could give you his righteousness if you believe in him and ask him to be your Lord and Savior. Jesus' salvation is still available, but you're going to have to close that lid and say, I'm not interested anymore. That's what I'm interested in. And just because people tell me this so much, I know people believe it. And those accomplishments may be those negative accomplishments, the things you've done against the kingdom of God. Don't trust in them as disqualifiers either. The blood that he shed on that cross is strong enough to cover them. You can close that box and call upon Jesus. I don't know how you need to respond this morning, but the altar's open. I'll be available. I pray that the Holy Spirit enables you today, each and every one of us, to close that and choose that. If you would, please stand.